This episode is sponsored in part by Swim. Okay, here's a depressing stat. 70% of shoppers who want your products never actually buy them. They browse, they consider, then they forget. That's revenue walking out the door. Swim Wishlist Plus turns browsers into buyers. Customers save products they want, get notified when prices drop or items restock. You can also engage them in personalized fashion through your marketing or sales outreach. It's like having a personal shopper reminding them to come back and buy from you instead of your competitors. And 45,000 stores already use it, and it only takes 5 minutes to install. You can try it free today for 14 days. Go to getswim.com/Kurt. That's swimwithay.com/Kurt. Turn those maybe laters into sales today. Getswim.com. The thing that confuses me, my friends, about AI, is what the hell, what's the difference between AI and an AI agent? Right? I hear about agentic AI and AI agents. I don't actually know what it means. I think it means you're giving it some level of autonomy, you know, just like, hey, run an automation, go out, do this, I guess. But as usual, I have someone who has experience here, who is smarter than me, who will explain it to us. My guest today is Boris Selleck, who does only agentic AI builds. He's essentially building custom bots for clients, it seems. Well, we'll get into it. But I met him through a mutual client, Harney & Sons Tea. Worked with them for years. Love them. And they have had Boris and his team assist with some really clever automation. And the one that we worked with, one that was, you know, reporting analytics in Slack, which is cool. I'm like, okay, I think I could figure that out. But where it got wild is product seeding. They had fully automated a product seeding campaign. You know, you like find an influencer, reach out to them. Hey, we love what you're doing. Could we just send you some product? You send them the product and then, you know, follow up and hope they post about it. And, you know, for someone like a tea company, product seeding is very practical. And I was so impressed by this. And over, you know, the last several months, you know, through the course of the year, I've been reaching out to Bora with my occasional AI questions, because this guy is deep in it, you know, with stuff I don't even get. You know, explain it to me. I'm like, I actually don't know what you just said. But hopefully we could dumb it down for laypersons. Boris Selleck, I'm so happy to have you. Thank you for joining me. How are you doing today?
Thanks for having me, Kurt. I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. So, all right, tell me what your business is, what you do.
I'm the founder of a company named Agentic, which is the pivoted version after Collabs at IO. Once I realized that AI agents are going to take over and traditional SaaS businesses are just not going to be exciting / maybe survive even. And then last year, about 14 months ago, September of 2024, I sent an email to our investors and said, the first line said, SaaS is dead.
Quite the claim.
Everything that we're doing, all the collaboration campaigns that we're doing for brands, AI agents can do a lot of this work. It's just, there's a lot of tasks to do. So then I started kind of like converting all of our systems into more agentic systems to have AI agents do the work instead of humans logging into software and clicking buttons and looking at pages and things like that. And it ended up being an end-to-end autonomous system. And just the first one, which is the example that you gave about Harney & Sons, is finding influencers, doing matches using vector search technology. And the agents are doing this, not people. So like normally, they employ people to go do keyword searches, hashtag searches, try to find their emails, email them, reply to them, send them product, check to see if they posted. There's like 24 tasks that need to be completed until you find an influencer, make sure they are the right one, reach out, and then, you know, go back and forth. You always have a lot of questions, whether it's a gifting campaign or a paid campaign. So that's how we started. And then every time we start working with a brand and they see what's possible now that wasn't possible you know, a couple of years ago, they're like, oh, it's just like the light bulbs go off in their heads and they go, can we also have AI agents do this other thing? Our focus was mostly on marketing related. I mean, it's still mostly on marketing related, influencer outreach related, influencer campaign related. But you kind of follow where the demand is. And then, you know, we ended up building like a series of AI agent automations that are kind of e-commerce brand specific. I break them into two separate categories. One of them is what I call the high volume agents that just do a lot of stuff, like one per minute, 24/7, 30 days a month. And the second one is what I call kind of like the data analyst agents, where it's not high volume, but it's high smarts. So they kind of look at the data, just do data analysis, and then provide insights. So those are the kinds of two kinds of agents that we build. And, you know, focused mostly on e-commerce operations right now.
So I want to focus on, you know, 'cause the thing that is a gray area for me is, you know, the format that an AI agent takes. It's sort of like what its limitations are, how it works. Currently, if I think of AI, it is synonymous with ChatGPT. I presented a text prompt, it gives me an output. And then, you know, like it's smart and clever and we've all used it, but it is not autonomous. You know, it's not, and it certainly is not performing tasks or doing very few, right? It works in a very limited way. It involves, you know, me sitting over its shoulder, monitoring it and just kind of and doing the inputs. You go a step further that really changes things, where it is directly, it is no longer me saying, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. And it goes, all right, well, go do this. And then go back, oh, this is what happened. And, you know, like it's no longer the middleman. It is itself doing the work, the AI. A lot of the work you do is in e-commerce. And then within that, it's kind of like there's analytics work, you know, stuff that in which it where it's only interacting internally, and then stuff where it's interacting externally. That's the wild part, where you're just letting it go out into the world and engage with people. And I think like influencer campaign management in general seems like such a great use case for this. So let's like walking through that as an example, what does it look like? Like, let's say I have, in broad strokes, you know, I've hired you, someone like you, or built something like this. What's the starting point? What's the output? How much human is involved here?
So the term AI agent is kind of being used a little bit loosely right now, you know, but the thing is it does things the way you program it. So let's talk about this influencer outreach system being done by multiple agents, right? Agents have tasks. And then when they finish the task, there's an output of that. The output could be the input of another agent. So let's talk about the influencer finding. So you start working with a brand like Harney & Sons, for example. So people who might be interested in teas or, you know, tea kind of lifestyle. So, you know, we have like a brand insights agent that kind of does a research on the brand, what people are saying, what their products are. Based on that, it does automatic matches using the creators in the vector database that talk about certain things. So it kind of matches the similarities.
What the heck is a vector database?
A vector database stores text in vectors, which is like a bunch of numbers, like 1,024 dimensions. And then it allows you to do similarity searches, not based on text, but based on something called embedding. So it converts text into, depending on what dimensions you use, I use like 1,024 dimensions, depending on what you do. So like every piece of text, let's say a caption a creator wrote in their Instagram post. So that's a paragraph of text. So you vectorize that. Then let's get their last 25 posts, 25 of them vectorized. And then we have Harney & Sons brand vibes vectorized. It compares and it finds the most similar vectors, not based on, oh, this is talking about tea, or like, for instance, it knows that tattoo and ink are the same things. It knows the meaning. It's not trying to match exact words. You see what I mean? So yeah, that makes it so powerful.
I had no idea such a thing existed. Okay. Incredible. The vectorization is really clever because like currently with an AI search tool, like Perplexity, it is literally going through the same human text that someone else might. Your system, VectorDB, you're loading the data into it, I imagine, and then essentially like it assigns it a more machine-readable format.
Yeah. So I vectorize a lot of things. Once I learned how powerful it is, so vectorization of influencer data is one thing. Vectorization of brand data is another thing. So now what we're working on now, vectorization of customer messages, vectorization of creator messages. So once we do like creator gifting campaign, creators write back with feedback about the products. Say, oh, like I like this, I don't like this, the taste is like that, blah, blah. So we vectorize all of those messages and then give a like a chat interface to the brands. And you can actually ask questions to see what they are saying. Like what are they complaining about? What are the top five complaints? Or vectorization of customer reviews. So that allows you to kind of do searches based on the meanings, sentiments, and things like that. So once you have something like this running in the background and tie this as like tools that agents can use, that it allows with, you know, an autonomous system end to end.
Okay. So how much, I want to know, how much human intervention is involved here? Yeah. How much, like if I build the system and say go, could it run? Like obviously I can add checks into it where it's like someone has to approve a list, you know, a spreadsheet, whatever. But could this be set up to just run autonomously, continuously?
So what you're describing is a pattern called HITL, human in the loop pattern. So during certain points, we start with introducing a human in the loop pattern where this is like a sensitive area, like for instance, sending an email, right? It writes the email. So let's say we found the creator, we did a match, created a match report, over 75 score, great. We're going to email this creator, find their email, and then personalize an email based on the stuff that they've been talking about and the, what the brand is about. It says, look, you know, we're a good match because of this, 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 and this reasons, because you're talking about this, 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 and our brand is about this, this, this. Email is created. So now, before sending that email, we had a human in the loop pattern where a human looks at all these emails generated and clicks the send button, or edit and send. So that's an intervention area. So what we do is, if you actually go through like 100 or 200 of these emails without changing anything, it builds trust. So once we start building AI agents, the most important thing is people are like, I don't know, like, is this going to hallucinate? Is it just going to say weird stuff?
Yeah, it's speaking on your behalf. So before you let it loose, you want to make sure it's not going to do something weird.
Yeah. So anything that we do, it needs to build trust, right? So is it writing good emails that we can be proud of? It won't embarrass the brand. Or when it comes to things like data analysis, is the data accurate or is it making stuff up? Because, you know, if it's not engineered correctly, it can, because LLMs are known to do that. But there are ways to prevent that from happening, right? So after a while, people stop reviewing and saying, you know what, which I call go from HITL mode to YOLO mode, where you just say YOLO and just send the email. I don't have to review it anymore. And then right now, actually, with, you know, hiring and sons, and in the beginning, we used to review, like just somebody would review hundreds of emails. And it's just good. Like it sends tens of thousands of emails out and not a single one coming back saying that, like, why did you send me this weird thing? You know, instead people are like, oh, thanks so much. Or, you know, reviewing the stuff that I'm doing, I feel seen, you know, things like that, you know, like, because normally a lot of brands do outreach with templated email saying, hey, we love your content.
I listened to podcast where you spoke with guest name. Yeah, I get a lot of those.
It's just, we actually built some AI agents on the creator end. So I was able to see what their inbox looks like. Oh my God. It's just so ridiculous spam coming through from brands trying to get them to promote their products. And then it's hard to stand out. So another intervention area could be product sending, right? So for brands who have multiple products, flavors, colors, tastes or different things, sizes, you know, we work with a shoe company, you know, they have kids' shoes, different sizes, different colors. Creators ask questions, or like they're allergic. Oh, does it contain so-and-so? If it does, I can't use that. Can you send me another one? Things like that, right? So these are the areas where people kind of still need to get involved. But what happens is over time, you build this history of AI able to learn from what kind of questions are asked and what kind of answers are given. So if you get a similar question in the future, I can say this. So it kind of like learns, it increases its learnings about the interactions about that brand and the kinds of questions. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of questions, but even if you have 24 questions, it's finite. It's not like unlimited number of questions coming in. So that's actually currently still in a draft mode. AI writes draft replies, and then somebody kind of hits send or edit and send button. But it just like still increases the speed so much, even with like humans kind of eyeing it, editing maybe.
Well, there's so much research and legwork that's done and so much like mental overhead that goes away. It's very easy to look at a finished result, like an email, and go, yes, no, you know, send this or not.
Yeah, I mean, replying to people on behalf of other brands, there's a lot of work involved in there. But it does remove a lot of kind of grunt work out of the plates of,
for sure,
people. So people can mostly focus on more creative things or strategic things. So like AI agents are just doing a lot of boring tasks.
Well, that's the stuff I want to get off my plate, right? The stuff I don't like. For sure, like the things you do enjoy, don't outsource or automate those. If you enjoy them, keep doing them. Man, those order change emails suck. They're always like, I ordered the wrong size. I meant to change the shipping address. Oops, I was drunk. Instead of making customers email you that stuff, let them fix it themselves with Cleverific. Cleverific is a self-service portal that lets customers edit their orders without bugging you. That means you get fewer headaches, customers get faster fulfillment, and there's fewer returns overall. Everybody wins. Peter Manning, New York, cut their support tickets by 99% with Cleverific. You want in on that? Get 50% off the pro plan, just $49 a month, exclusively for listeners of the Unofficial Shopify podcast. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50. Done. Problem solved. That's Cleverific. I want to know what this interface looks like, you know, like ChatGPT text interface. An agent, what does that interface look like? Especially for you, where these are custom tools.
So there's no interface. I actually no longer believe in web interfaces. Like I stopped building any kind of web apps. So for instance, Honey and Sons, there's no interface for them to look at. There's nothing to log into. They just want a certain result. Like yesterday, they messaged, they have like a new campaign, holiday campaign. They want to get started beginning of December. And that's what's going to happen. And that's just going to happen. Agents are going to do it. You just kind of instruct the agents to, hey, like use this product instead of this one. And find me also now new type of creators who are also interested in books and tea, not just tea, you know, because, you know, they have like a new collab going on with, related to a writer. And then so interfaces, the agent building interfaces, there's an interface to build agents. You either write code, you know. So for me, I use LangGraph cloud platform for high volume agents. I also use N8N. I prototype a lot of things in N8N, and this is something anybody can use. So I actually started almost like encouraging people to learn how to do it. I started making content. Even like teaching people, look, you should do some of these things yourself. I believe that everybody should learn how to build agents, how to orchestrate agents. I think it's the job of the future. You know, people are kind of afraid and worried they're going to lose their jobs. I believe what's going to happen now is like the tasks are getting replaced, right? The tasks. But when you kind of think about it, why were we doing those tasks in the first place? Is this a task for a human to do? Should I be doing something else, right? So coordinating, orchestrating, building, architecting these agents, you don't have to be technical either. Well, you know, like you don't have to be a coder. You kind of have to have a systems thinking mind and you have to be analytical, but there's stuff to learn. And I think people should learn this, you know, people should learn this and build these agents, connect them to each other using probably easier to start with visual interface tools like N8N. It's, you know, easy to understand. You connect things to each other. You know, a lot of people probably use already automations in HubSpot or Zapier. So it's similar,
Or Klaviyo.
Or Klaviyo.
Or Shopify, you know? Flow. Yeah, I'm looking at N8N and like the editor, the way the templates look, immediately I'm like, oh, this is like...
Familiar, right?
Yeah, familiar.
It's just that there's like an AI agent you add to the flow. And once you add an AI agent, it changes things because it becomes... Like prior to AI agent, everything is deterministic. Like a HubSpot flow would be, if this happens, then go and do this and send this email or move this deal from here to there. Else, if the scenario is this. So like you basically program a flow just like you would program code, a lot of if else then kind of logic. But when there's an AI agent, you don't program it deterministically like that. You let the agent decide what to do.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you still have to instruct the agent, you know, like what you expect to happen. And then there's like MCP tools you give the agent so that because agent itself doesn't know anything, right? There's an agent, like in an A10 flow, it gets triggered via either a cron job that runs on a like hourly or once a day or every minute or every 5 minutes. Or if an email has been received, or if I get a Slack message or something like that, right? And then once it's triggered, agent receives some kind of input saying, oh, like find new creator. So like, you know, for Hanya sounds right now, every minute, the creator match is running for the whole month, like nonstop. So every minute it finds like the next best match. And then goes, checks their Instagram, checks their new posts, score, oh, 43, not good enough, rejected, next. You know, so it has like, you give it prompts, just like, you know, when you're using ChatGPT, you give it a prompt. In an AI agent, there's a user prompt and there's a system prompt. So in the user prompt, this is like every interaction comes with a new input. And the system prompt is kind of how we program what we expect from the agent. Like we say things like, you know, go check this MCP tool first, get that result, and then go do this later, you know, and then agent kind of uses the model, like depending on how complex that flow is, I use a different model. For something like influencer matching, the context window is high, like last 25 posts, also a bunch of stuff from the brand, what they're about. I use O3, which is a reasoning model. It's slower, but it's smarter. It takes a long time, but it comes with a really good analysis. But there's another one. For instance, I have one agentic flow where, oh, we found a creator. Their location is unclear. So then agent goes and checks their posts and the comments and tries to decide if they're US-based or not. Oh, like there's a Jamaican flag in their profile or a location when they... added a caption, the location is in Spain, or there's come Spanish words. Some people are leaving a lot of Spanish comments, so probably. So then that one, I use like 4.1 mini. You know, it doesn't need like super reasoning, and it's cheaper because, you know, you do a lot of them, so you kind of have to figure out volume versus cost versus am I okay with an intern level result or like a junior result, or do I need a PhD level response here? So you kind of have to do the cost analysis, what I like to call, do I need a Ferrari for this job? Or is a BMW okay? Or is it okay to use a Toyota Corolla?
I'll just take a Civic. It's fine.
You know,
help me understand. I want to understand cost at scale. Like, of, you know, of all these campaigns or the agents that you've built, what's the one that has the high, you know, the biggest output? Like deliverable-wise, you know, what's got the biggest impact?
Well, the biggest one is the influencer matchmaker agent uses the O3, and the input is big and the output is big. And the second one is we have a video scoring agent that's right before an ad is created. You know, brands get these testimonial videos. Well, you know, if the outreach is successful, hopefully creators generate a ton of content and the brands are swimming in tons of content. Like one of our customers gets 50,000 videos every month on TikTok.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. 50,000?
Yeah, yeah. They've built a machine, and it took them a while to build the machine. And they're one of the highest revenue generating brands on TikTok Shop. And So if you get 50,000 videos every month, and they have actually a big team, like maybe a couple dozen people just doing this influencer operations, but they could only look at 5,000 of them. So they kind of leave, you know, like 90-95% on the table. Like they haven't been able to review them for 2 years. So they have, like, going back 2 years, hundreds of thousands of unreviewed videos that are sitting there that they could just content created for them. So the AI
can review the video and make a subjective decision on good, bad, or like rate it 1 through 10. What's the criteria for that?
So we even have like two layers. So we use like one model that does like a cheap review. In this case, it's Google's Gemini has a video understanding, and that's pretty cheap, right? It allows us, like, you know, if you use OpenAI's, they have like a computer vision image understanding. That's kind of expensive. We couldn't use that, right, at that scale. But with Google's Gemini's video understanding, that allows you, but it doesn't give you a lot of detail. Like, it gives you like just enough, one small paragraph of like what's happening in the video. Then it allows us to filter out.
I didn't even know this was possible.
You just have to kind of play around with it. You know, it's a new thing that I learned in the past few months as well. So just models are changing all the time, Kurt. Like, new ones are coming out. You kind of have to play around and see, can I use this for the brand, for this job, for this task? So then you automate it. So because we want to do so many, that's running on, like, every minute it's reviewing two videos now, because we have to also go back and then it reviews them. And then there's the usage rights outreach agent that kind of looks at it, say, hey, like, this reviewed over 50 score. Let's email this creator, ask for usage rights. Hey, here's our contract. Give us the rights and, you know, we'll do like a rev share kind of a deal. And then you get them to sign the agreement. You know, like, I even kind of like work with their legal to remove that manual DocuSign that they had in place, which kind of slows everything down. So the creators can automatically kind of click something, and then it triggers the next agent. So that's a trigger right there. Because the creator agrees to usage rights, it triggers the next agent that does vectorizing. Now they have rights to all of the videos this creator did for them. So now it opens up, all right, so like, let's add them to our video library. This is a video that was out there, but we couldn't use it before because we didn't have usage rights, but now we have usage rights. So now it triggers the, again, scoring, but vectorizes scene by scene, frame by frame, visual and audio transcript. What is being said? What is being shown? It breaks up into scenes. So now it's making it ready for the creative department to kind of see, can we use these scenes? A woman putting skin cream or like a eye cream under her eye, or somebody talking about transformation, like what is being said. You can do audio searches, but the agents can also do the searches, right? So like, you can kind of write a, hey, like, I need you can kind of storyboard it. I need a scene that happens something like this. But of course, it's looking for hundreds of thousands of videos, millions of scenes, because every 30-second video has like 5-6 scenes in it. So just multiply that, right? So then that analysis, there's another scoring there that kind of scores scene by scene. That's a little bit more expensive, but, you know, at this point, the volume of videos is down to thousands instead of hundreds of thousands. So, and then we want to make sure that this is compliant. Meta is not going to reject it if you upload it as an ad. You know, the person is not saying stuff that's not against FTC
regulations. Yeah, they're not making like unreasonable claims.
Yeah, you're like, you just completely, you know, fixed my cancer or something like that. You know, you can't say stuff like that. Yeah. So there's instructions about what cannot be said, but there's like, it's either like not compliant with FTC, but also just not a good ad, not a good thing to say. And then it also like makes recommendations. Hey, like, remove this sentence, then it will be okay. So now the next level of agents is like doing edits, like,
what?
And it's in Google Sheets, right? So the interface is like, the agents are inserted into the Google Sheet the team has been using already. So there's no like web UI that you have to log into, but it's like, hey, this is the video. And then it says, this is the final analysis. This is the score. It says, well, it can be used for an ad, but you need to remove this text that's kind of like not compliant. And then the person says, all right, just remove text. And then just giving it like five or so text edits. Remove text, move this text to the front so it's a better hook. So it's good for hook testing. Or increase volume by 30%, or speed it up by 15%, or add captions, like things like that. Like normally, prior to the agent, the team has been using things like CapCut. They have to kind of like edit each video like one by one, then turn it into an ad, then upload the meta. But now they're kind of like doing it at scale. Just the Google Sheet has hundreds of them, thousands of them. Every day it adds like 100 new videos in there. And then they're kind of going in there, oh, like this is good score, 75. One small change, just remove that thing about talking about the neck or something like that. Remove that. And then the thing that she's saying at the end is actually better as a hook. Move that sentence to the front. And now our agent actually knows everything about this video. It also recommends ad copy, four or five different kinds, short, medium, long, things like that. So like all of this stuff is kind of removing these kinds of work from people's plates so that they're kind of focused more on creative stuff. And the agents are doing just the grunt work of these menial tasks.
Here's a word from our sponsors at Zipify. Black Friday's coming, and so's the squeeze. Every year, the same thing. Ad costs balloon, customers want 40% off everything, and your margins get crushed. But there's a fix. Boost your average order value before the chaos hits. One-click upsell does exactly that, increasing AOV by up to 30% with AI-powered upsells across your entire customer journey. Launch upsells for every product in one click. Customers see personalized offers and spend more automatically. Unlike other apps, you only pay for results, not views, so you keep more profit. Takes under 2 minutes to set up and starts working immediately. Don't let this traffic season slip by without maximizing every sale. Go to zipify.com/Kurt for your 30-day free trial. That's zipify.com/KURT. Turn this into your most profitable Black Friday yet. You're taking the hard part and automating it so that the people who have experience doing this could do the valuable part. I love, and especially like a bulk operation where we have tens of thousands of videos, it just is not realistic for a person to go through all that and make meaningful decisions.
Yeah, like it hasn't replaced the work that was being done. That work was not being done at all.
Yep.
Because it was not reasonable or cost efficient for a brand. They would have spent millions of dollars trying to review hundreds of thousands of videos with like humans sitting there and watching each video one by one, deciding. Well, I mean, that was the previous process, right? Watching. But they decided to only watch like 5% of the videos because that's even too much.
So, you have opened my eyes to like the next level power that is possible here. For sure. You said, hey, your advice was learn an AI automation platform like N8N first. Is like, that's a good starting point. And then hit the limits of that and then move to more advanced custom tooling like you're doing. Which makes sense. I mean, I tell new Shopify merchants a similar thing. I'm like, hey, take the theme as far as you can go in the theme editor on your own so that you understand it and can talk the language when you're hiring someone to do it for you. You'll get a better result. That part makes sense to me. I want to know, beyond influencer management for a Shopify store owner, what else works? Like, what are some of these agents that we could leverage for high ROI impact?
Well, in the enterprise, the most popular use case is customer service. That's the most impact. That's the biggest market share. That's why there's a bunch of companies out there that's doing customer service AI. And it does a good job. It just, needs to...
Any in particular you think is decent?
I haven't used them specifically, myself because... I build these things. I just don't buy or use software anymore. Like I canceled our HubSpot in beginning of October. It was we had an annual contract. It's like $26,000 a year or something like that. I don't need this. Just all these like internal tooling that we can build, and then you can kind of cancel stuff like this. So like I'm a believer in build over buy now, and I encourage people. Everybody fights me on it. Oh, no, you know, people don't want to build. They just want like what's ready. I'm like, well, you can customize agents so much that does exactly what you need. And then you don't rely on this software or vendor. So, you know, I'm a big believer in people learning how to build these kinds of things. And you don't need like a big team. You just need like a couple people internally who are like super AI native, understands how workflow automations work. And just like pick one thing at a time. You know, I recommend people to, you have these SOPs like standard operating procedures or training videos that you're training your, you know, either virtual assistants or interns or offshore team to kind of do stuff for you. Take those as input. You're using ChatGPT or Claude already. Upload them and say that, look, here's an SOP that this process uses. Find me the areas that we can automate with AI agents. And it kind of
clever.
Claude does a great job. I'm sure ChatGPT 5 will also do a great job.
Yeah, I prefer Claude too.
I like Claude very much. I like them both. I kind of like interchangeably use them for different things. But
I refer to Claude as our French developer. He's overseas.
Yeah. Claude is really good for programming, architecting, things like that. I like it a lot too.
Well, I want to know what the limitations are. Like right now, it sounds like you get this thing to do just about anything. What can't your agents do? Like, what's the thing if I asked you for help with, you'd be like, I can't do it. I'd be like, listen, I need it to perform brain surgery. Obviously not. You know, where's the limit?
Yeah, I don't know. Like for our kind of work, you know, just internal operations of an e-commerce company, I haven't seen anything so complex and advanced and difficult than that AI agents won't be able to do for this kind of work. Like I don't work with airports, flight control, doctor surgeries, or, you know, the kind of security you need transferring somebody's money from one bank account to another. Like those are the kinds of sensitive areas where scary things might happen. In our line of work, I always think about, like yesterday I commented on somebody's LinkedIn, he was talking about it. Like what's the worst thing that could happen? Like if this goes wrong, right? So you kind of have to start from that. What's the worst thing that could happen? You know, like in the case of emailing, agent says something like really weird, embarrasses the brand, you know, like that would be a bad thing to happen. Or like if the video is scored incorrectly, it's not a big deal, you know, scoring every once in a while. Like if it's like 1%, 5%, you kind of compare it to humans, right? So like sometimes people compare AI agents to, oh, this needs to be godlike, 100% correct all the time. I'm like, well, no, let's compare it to our coworkers who are 70% correct and 30% wrong. You know, the people
that
we work with.
Yeah, it just needs to be as smart as them. And they're fallible.
Yeah, exactly.
And that we're
as long
just,
as
no question.
I'm okay with them making a mistake, right? So there's just a lot of purists out there. They're like, oh, look, ha, 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 look at this screenshot. The AI agents messed up. I'm like, well.
That's perfect solution fallacy, where you're like, if it's not perfect 100% of the time, don't use it. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, that's what I meant, Kurt, by it needs to earn our trust, where you kind of get a feeling that, you know what, like it's good enough for this job.
If I'm getting started with this, what are the tools I should explore? Like I'm a Shopify merchant. You know, my automation experience is Shopify Flow or Klaviyo, and I'm familiar with ChatGPT. Then, you know, I'm going to try, you know, maybe I use Zapier. And yep. It sounds like N8N and, you know, and the number 8N is a good starting place.
It is. What I do is, first off, one annoying task that you do every day. You know, one annoying thing. It keep it like really small, like atomic task. And then sign up with N8N. You drag things on the screen. Start with like a manual, or just like you can automate it, run every hour or something like that. And then there's drag an agent, drag a model, use like OpenAI, GPT 4.1 or something like that, or Claude, you know, you just put in your API key in there. And then at this point, you're going to need to kind of connect some tools for the agent to do stuff. So we didn't really talk about MCP that much, which I believe MCP is the future. I think it's going to replace the web. So everything that I build now are MCP servers and MCP server tools. I don't build APIs. I don't build websites, web apps. And even the agents, I feel like agents are kind of moving up to, you know, the consumer level simplicity now where you can build the agents, but you need to connect to some kind of tools and MCP tools for the agent to be smart and just do its work. Like,
and example, MCP, we didn't define it, but MCP, Model Context Protocol. It's a
Model Context Protocol. It's like APIs for agents to use.
Yeah, for AIs to talk to each other.
You know, they kind of explain it as it's like a USB-C connector. So it lets you connect to things. And you know, just, let's give you like one specific example, right? So now I started a series of build your own customer service agent, right? I made a video. Then you see this board behind me, this new glass board that I got. It allows me to make this glass board neon marker videos now. The next one that I'm going to do is I'm going to make it real. Customer service. What does a customer service agent has to do? Let's do very simple things. Check my message history. Check the order status in Shopify. Draft a reply. Maybe somebody's asking, where's my stuff? How do you respond to that? Right? Check the message history, an MCP tool. Check the order status using the Shopify as an MCP tool now. So you can just drag Shopify's MCP there. And then draft a reply. That's a very simple thing you can do today.
That's pretty good. Yeah. And that, you know, that replaces a big annoyance, a headache, you know, something you don't want to deal with is these where's my order requests, right? And so you could use this tool. That's very clever.
Yeah, but the thing is, Kurt, once you do this, the simplest thing, explosions will go off in your head because then you have been enabled now and you're like, oh my gosh, now I have a million other things I can do. I have all these ideas. So I really love this for people because people have been wanting to build stuff forever. And they're just like, oh, I need an engineer. I need a developer. They're expensive. I don't have money like that. But now they can just put their ideas to work by kind of like engineering thinking. And with AI agents, it's quite easy to build. And once they build it, like these $100 million brand CEOs are doing it now, they're getting so excited being able to vibe code a page, or like being able to put together their agent. They're like, oh my, like I'm going to lead by example. I'm going to learn this myself and I'm going to teach my team. I'm going to tell them to learn it. Everybody should learn it and we should be an agentic brand.
Oh, it is fun. Like I've always loved automation of all kinds and this just takes it to another level. And you're right, like it's so empowering and I've learned so much working with these tools. So you've given me another.
Honestly, it makes you a happier person because a lot of people really hate their jobs because of the menial tasks that they do, right? They kind of don't want to work. They don't want to go to work. But now, like, I was kind of looking at myself. I've been working for a long time, and it felt like my career was kind of getting, like, there's nothing new to learn. I know everything already kind of a thing. But then when there's some new things to learn, new things to do, I feel like there's a little bit of more of a pep in my step. Like, when I jump out of bed in the morning, oh, look, we can build this interesting, cool new thing now. It's kind of like if you have like a creator kind of a mindset that you kind of enjoy finding flow in these kinds of things, I think it kind of could turn you into a happier person because you learn more, it's more fun, and you kind of get into these new challenges.
I agree. It's very cool. I'm excited. You have some resources. You've got a newsletter, YouTube channel, and obviously your own consulting business. Plug it. Tell us about it. Where can we learn more from Bora?
Yeah. So our business is not consulting, but it is a little bit like Palantir. You know, it's not, it has platform products, but they're not traditional software products. It has custom implementation. So it comes with services. So agentic, a.gentic.co, that's the website. So I like to teach people how to do these things. I created a newsletter / YouTube channel, agenticbrand.ai is the newsletter. And on YouTube, it's at agenticbrand. So both of them. So I try to make one video a week, trying to pick a subject, teaching how, like, or just trying to encourage people like the brands who work at brands or anybody, you know, who's kind of like trying to get into AI by kind of learning how to build agents or how to think about vector databases, how to think about, you know, how influencer marketing can change or different kinds of, and now like I'm doing the series on customer service agents. Sometimes, you know, people come to me and say, oh, like I'm using this thing, but it won't let me upload all of my knowledge base. It's like only one file limit or something like that. Like, well, build your own. Well, I don't know how to build it. Can you help me? Well, let me make some content.
Smart. Very smart. Thank you so much. This has been great. Boris Selleck, Agentic AI. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kurt, for having me. I appreciate that.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.